Well, God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. We wish you a very Merry Christmas, holiday season, whatever you would like to call it. I just enjoy it because so many people are happy, many people are blessed, and many people are excited. I'm here at home in our fireplace room. We've got a little fire going, so you may hear a little crackle now and then. Snap and Pop couldn't show up, but in any case, we're here at our home. This past Sunday, we didn't do our fellowship at the chapel as we were planning to, simply because of the inconvenience of travel with all of the snow and things. Here it is Wednesday morning, and I spent Monday pretty much shoveling snow and clearing things out, and then Tuesday getting back to work and getting things caught up. So it's taken a little bit of time. I appreciate your kindness to be patient as we get these things together and continue to fellowship around the Word. Also wanted to take this opportunity to say how much we appreciate your love and support for Beloved of God Ministries, your warm greetings and your wonderful blessings to tell us how you are enjoying the word that we're teaching and support Beloved of God Ministries. This is really a great time. I've got this beautiful box in front of me that's a velvet box with a red ribbon around it, red velvet, and very beautiful. And I'll probably open it up a little later, but this is the holiday time, and it seems like all people in America anyways, or at least the Western world, take time to give gifts and shop for one another for the holidays. And some people sometimes seem to be harder to shop for, not because they're ungrateful or demanding or that they're ungracious, but perhaps it's because we want their gift to be just so-so, you know, just a beautiful thing. So in the fellowship of the beloved, what do you give a man or a woman who has everything? Well, they simply just need an opportunity to serve, to utilize the wonderful gift, the perfect gift that they have already received from God. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to make a little request for you or give you some opportunities to serve if you would like, just to get to the utilization of that wonderful gift of God that's within you. But in Acts chapter 1, I wanted to read this to you. In verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power," and that's dunamis, that's potential, "after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you," meaning the gift of God, "and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Isn't that beautiful? You shall receive power, and after that ye shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses. The word witness is the Greek word martus. In our current culture, we think of a martyr as someone who dies for what they believe. But biblically, the truth is, it's one who lives for what he or she believes and lives what he or she believes. In the Latin, it's the Latin word memor, literally one who remembers, one who has a knowledge or information that's to be shared, and they can bring light or comfort with authority and with confidence. Well, we are recipients of this perfect gift from God, and our great pleasure and our great joy of life is in the utilization. And going into 2017, I want to encourage you to really believe that you've received something from God, and it is the perfect gift. Parents are usually concerned with equality to make sure their children all get different things. I know my brother and I would always be very grateful for all of our gifts and our parents' thoughts toward us. But inevitably, my brother received something that I wanted but did not get, or vice versa, and something like that. And we were fairly close. We were 3 years apart in age. Perhaps some of the things maybe for a younger child would be inappropriate. But God had that perfect gift. Remember, it was the gift that was also given to the household of Cornelius. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. Cornelius, in this record in Acts, had been told by an angel to send men to Joppa to get Peter to come and share with him these great truths. And, of course, Peter went there, and it tells us that in chapter 10, look at Acts chapter 10, verse 44, it says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost," or Holy Spirit, "fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost," or the gift of Holy Spirit. "And the reason they knew is they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Isn't that beautiful? They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Well, we have opportunities to magnify God. Now, we think of that particularly in the manifestations of speaking in tongues with interpretation, or bringing forth words of prophecy, an aspect or a part of that gift. But there are many times we have the opportunity to speak the word of God to people and to magnify God, like when we share the word on the love of God that many people have not heard, or many people have never really fully thought through the beauty, the perfection of it, and that gift of Holy Spirit as absolute proof of God's great love for us, because it has eternal life in it, in the gift. They spoke the wonderful works of God, or they spoke and magnified God. In Acts chapter 11, of course, when Peter went back, there was some concern, because here he was speaking and teaching to Gentiles, went to see them. And he wants to affirm for them that they got that same perfect gift. In Acts 11, let's go to chapter 11, and in verse 15, Peter is telling the brethren there, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning," meaning on the day of Pentecost. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit.' For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us." And the word "like" means exactly like it. Well, what is God's gift to man like, when you think of it? In other words, they received this exact same thing that the children of Israel received, that the apostles received on the day of Pentecost, and they received like, meaning exactly like, very same, all nine manifestations, the beauty, the same perfection. Let's go to James chapter 1. And I want to show you what that gift is like, so that we don't forget how wonderful that gift is, and how beautiful that gift is, and how perfect that gift is. In James chapter 1, I want to read this to you. In verse 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And that same perfect gift continues to be given today when men and women confess Jesus as their Lord and believe in their hearts God has raised him from the dead. Every good gift, the word good here means worthy of admiration and serviceable. It's not something that just sits on the shelf. It's serviceable. Morally good with an inner harmonious perfection according to the standard and measure of God. Isn't that beautiful? It is a perfect gift. And we have the opportunity to utilize it. Because one of the great things that really a parent enjoys when they've given gifts to their children is to see their children utilizing it. That's why we have this perfect gift. It makes us complete, that the man of God may be completely furnished, or a man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It makes us complete. So what do you give a man then, or a woman, that has a perfect gift? Well, the one thing that they do still need is an opportunity to utilize that gift. And we ought to take advantage of it going into 2017 especially. It's perfect. It's absolutely complete. Dislike when you go and get something and you bring it home and you open up the box and there's a part missing, there's a screw missing or a nut missing or a side panel missing or something like that. That, you know, we get that at Lowe's quite a bit. We get customers that bring it back because it's not complete. Well, the gift that God has given us is absolutely complete. It's not something that we put back in the box and leave it up in the attic. It's complete. Not some assembly required. And it has a permanent power source. Batteries are included, I guess. It's also a heavenly gift. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. I want to show you and just impress upon your heart how wonderful this gift is and exhort you and encourage you to use it as much as you possibly can. And we have great opportunities, and I'll speak on this a little bit as we go along here. But it's also a heavenly gift. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and beginning in verse 4. Now, this is a reproving thing. But in the reproving, you want to see how beautiful this gift is and how perfect this gift is. It says in verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift." It's a heavenly gift. And I often talk about the thing on the man going to heaven and not seeing anybody on crutches, and why don't I see anybody like that? And St. Peter or whoever tells him, the angel tells him that that's not God's will, that someone should be so encumbered. It's a heavenly gift. It is full. It is fruitful. It improves life. It gives life a great flavor, and you've tasted of that heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Isn't that we have the opportunity to exercise the powers of the world to come? And let's not be afraid to utilize that gift. Let's not be afraid, because look, let me ask you a question. Would you give your child a gift of something that they cannot use? You probably wouldn't. Would you give your child something that would get them in trouble, that would hurt them. And God gave it, and God continues to give it. So don't be afraid you're going to mess it all up. Don't be afraid that I might misuse it. Just do the best that you can, and it is a perfect gift. You're not going to ruin it. You're not going to screw it up. Just walk with it and believe. See, it lets us know what our abilities and our authorities are going to be in eternity, because we get a taste of it every time we utilize that gift. We get a lick. But the greatest blessing is in utilizing the gift and an opportunity to serve. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. And again, I know that there's debate on whether this was actually in the original text and if Mark wrote it or not and all these other things. It's in the Word of God, and I don't see where it contradicts the Word of God anywhere. I'm just going to read it to you and enjoy the blessings, because it's still true, no matter how you look at it. But in Mark chapter 16, let's begin in verse 15. It says, "And he, Jesus, said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel, to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized," meaning receives the gift of Holy Spirit, "shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned," or judged is the word, meaning, again, he judges himself unworthy of the world to come. He doesn't see it. He judges himself unworthy of the world to come. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." And they are indications of what God will do for his people. And it is continuous. He doesn't decide, well, I've decided not to do this anymore, or I've decided to stop doing that. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Never be afraid to minister healing. Well, what if they're not believing? Well, encourage them to believe. It's so simple. God already says we have it. God already tells us it's there for us. God has already given proof that it's there for us. So fear not, fear not. Just remember the other part. If there's any sick among you, let them come to the elders of the church. That's just the more mature believers, and they shall lay hands on them and save the sick. So it's repeated again in other parts, and we could put it, when we put it all together, we'll see it. But don't be afraid. Don't think you're going to give God a bad name, that you're going to minister someone and they won't recover. They can recover, and anytime they want. You know, it's the gift of healing, and they have that gift. Once you've ministered to them and administered healing to them, they have the gift. So don't be afraid to utilize it. Don't be afraid to go out and share with people the wonderful, perfect gift that God has given to us, and all of the love that it took God to put that in our trust. It lets us know what our ability and authority is like in eternity, but the greatest blessing is always utilizing the gift and opportunity to serve. Isn't that beautiful? Well, let's read on. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And he will do the same thing for you. So don't be afraid. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. The great record of Philippians, this wonderful epistle. 2017 is going to be an even greater year than 2016. And to my heart, 2016 has been quite a wonderful year. But 2017 is going to get better. And the path of the just shall shine brighter and brighter unto that perfect day. So let's look forward with great joy and great thanksgiving. And rejoice in the Lord and bring forth this wonderful word to people all over the place, because people need it. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, with awe and reverence. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Be strong and walk out on the things of God and the truth that you've got. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do you believe that you shine? Do you know that you shine? God's testimony of you is he works within you to will and to do of his good pleasure, and you shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And perverse means it's bent out of shape. It no longer fits or is suitable for what it should be used for, what God gave people life for, what God gave people hearts and brains and minds and courage to do. They no longer use it for what it was originally designed for. Their bodies, they don't even use for what it was originally designed for. But you are a light in the world, and people can change and they can get back to the truth, because God's blessings abide. I was thinking the other day, and I want to encourage all of you as an opportunity. Here's an opportunity to serve and a way to serve. On just about every corner here in South Bend, Mishawaka, and not so much in North Liberty because we're a tiny little town, but in South Bend and in Mishawaka, there are many homeless and helpless people. And we ought to give them God's strength. I remember a number of years back in another ministry, we were encouraged, if they got teeth and if they've got a job, witness to them. Well, we don't have any classes that they have to put up money for. But we do have a wonderful word of God that will deliver them and help them. Because so many of the signs that people stand on the street corner, it says homeless and, anything would be appreciated. And I wonder, well, and always at the bottom is God bless. And I always thought, you don't know what God's blessings are. And I have the opportunity, and I have the word, and I have the ability to share that with people. I am one who lives the truths and things that I believe. I know they work. I am one who remembers that God has said, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I am one who has information and knowledge to share, and I can share it with and bring light and confirm it with authority and confidence. And so are you. You're just that way. We ought to help those people. I think we can. I think we can. I've thought about going up to somebody and either handing them a sign or saying, in the biblical culture, People didn't stand on the street and say, I'm homeless, or have a sign that says, I'm crippled, you know, I need some money or something like that. We'll work for food. What they did was, would you pray for me? And I thought about, instead of a sign saying, God bless, why don't you hold up a sign saying, would you pray for my situation? I need to get a home, or I'm getting a home. I would like to get a home. I would like to get an apartment. I would like to get a bed, you know, something. But would you pray for me that God can meet my need and help me out of this situation? That would be a much better sign. I bet you it'd be a more effective sign. And maybe taking somebody out for breakfast and saying, why are you standing on a street corner? And obviously you do believe in God, because you say God bless at the bottom of all your signs. Why don't you ask people to pray for you and see what ways we can help people? I think that would be a great opportunity. And with the gift of God that's within us, we'll find the appropriate words to speak to that heart. We will find the words that will communicate to that specific person and help them to get God's strength in their lives. Look at Colossians chapter 1. See, I encourage you to try that. I'm not saying strictly that, and they're the only people we ought to witness. But how can we walk by the obvious? And let's see if we can really do something in helping people with the Word of God, with the truth of God, with something that will last them, because they need a perfect gift. In Colossians chapter 1, here's something else about that gift. It says, let's start in verse 25, wherefore I am, or was, made a minister according to the dispensation or the administration of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. If it's full, isn't it complete? Because that's what that word fill means, to fill completely. It is full. That's why sometimes people say, well, what about all these other books? I don't know about all those other books. I'm reading here that it was filled. The message and the truth, especially the message that Jesus Christ taught to his disciples and shared with his disciples, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, one who can bring light. Beautiful. But now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, or setting before every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom. How are we going to do it in all wisdom if we're not allowing the Word of God to work within us, if we're not allowing God to be at work within us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, to give us the words, to share with us what we need to teach? You'll get it, and just walk forth. Take the boldness to step out. Teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. The words perfect is to stand beside in Christ. In other words, that every one of us lines up perfectly with Christ. We're all in line. Beautiful. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily, and he will work in you mightily also, my friends and my brethren. The next 2 weeks, we will not be doing a fellowship while we take time for the holidays. We have some things planned, but we're not going to have a local fellowship here in North Liberty. But again, I want to extend our great love to you and the love of all those that fellowship with us here in North Liberty. I have another opportunity to serve, and that's for our Council of Church Elders. I know I haven't spoken to you much this year or called on you much this year, but I want to encourage you, if you will write some articles. Now, I'm not looking necessarily for your new research or anything of that nature, but on a lot of the topics that we've already taught, maybe something that you shared in your fellowship that really blessed a lot of people and really encouraged people on God's wonderful love for us. So for our Council of Church Elders, I'd like for you to send me in articles. I want to start including them on our website as encouragement and blessings for people to go through and to read. So if you have some questions on that, please email me or call me, and we'll do that. Also, I did want to mention, going into 2017, I'm considering going to a newer translation. I'm not quite sure which one, but something a little more closer to our current English. You know how to rightly divide the word. I know, I understand, you know, in King James that the italicized words are not in the original text of the Stephen's translation from which it was taken and all of that stuff. But I think it might be helpful for people to speak in the language they already understand. And that one's vastly getting away from us with all the slang that we're adding into it. But I think that I'm considering getting a new translation closer to our English and then start teaching that at fellowships. I'll still give you words like martus and things like that, because you already understand those kinds of things and we can help people along. But if they have to try and figure all this out, at least for an experiment, I'd like to try over 2017 utilizing a new translation or a closer to our American English translation so that people can follow us along in the Word of God. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on it and your heart and thinking on that also. Well, again, I sure love you, and I'm going to open up this box, this beautiful velvet box with the red ribbon around it. And as I lift the top of it off, it says Christ in you. Well, that's a great reminder of the wonderful gift I've got within. It's the best gift I've ever received. God bless you. Sure love you. Have a wonderful season, and we'll talk to you soon.